Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two on this Thursday live right here on the early line on Sports Grid, all across the Spiz Grizz Network. I am Ben Stevens. Donnie Wrightside, of course, is here as well. DRS, this Thursday starts week number five of the NFL regular season in Landover, Maryland, a Thursday night football game we are now hyped to see between the Commanders and the Bears. Washington, a 6-point home favorite. The over-under currently stands at 44 and a hook. But Wednesday, DRS. Yesterday in the NFL, always a big day as a new week begins. It's the first day guys are back at practice getting ready for the Sunday slate. And this Wednesday, entering week number five, even more critical, Donnie, because it was the first time players that were placed on the IR or remained on the PUP list from the end of training camp could be activated to that active roster. And all eyes on Indy, as Jonathan Taylor was back at practice for the Indianapolis Colts yesterday afternoon. JT on the PUP list, missed the first four games of the year. His Colts, Donnie, in a tie for first in the AFC South because all four teams are 2-2.
Yeah, and how about this? Perfect segue and story by story with James Harden and Jonathan Taylor. James Harden says, I'll never show up. I'll never play for Maury. I can't stand this organization. Only to show up, play basketball, and be on his best behavior. Jonathan Taylor this summer was basically told, we're not paying you. You better show up. We don't care if you're unhappy, but we expect you to play football. No, I'm not doing that. Put me on the PUP list. Okay, that's fine. And then all accounts, he's super excited to be back with the Indianapolis Colts. Make it make sense at this point, because quite frankly, it doesn't make sense to me. We'll see if he's back out on the field, but what changed? Where, hey, all of a sudden I'm not getting paid is so much better than what I wanted to just getting paid.
Hey, welcome to our Sports Grid Radio audience. Hour number two of three live right here on the early line. Sirius XM channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the mix as well. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. Jonathan Taylor back at practice for Indianapolis yesterday. So, Donnie, there's a couple of layers to this story, right? Because it wasn't just the ankle injury and the rehab of it for JT to get fully healthy to return this year. I think that is a true component. He only played 11 games a season ago. But it was more the contract dispute in the war of words that led to JT demanding a trade from Indianapolis. Not happy with what the owner, Jim Irsay, had to say about his value, the running back position, all of that, etc., in the National Football League. And then the Colts fielded some offers but didn't receive what they thought was fair trade value in return for JT. So they're going to keep Jonathan Taylor in Indianapolis. So there's not just being fully healthy to be back at practice and being happy that your team is off to a 2-2 start, understanding your critical role in this offense alongside a promising young rookie quarterback in Anthony Richardson. There's also the value perspective, Donnie, that still plays out. So I don't really get what that leads to with Jonathan Taylor if a new contract isn't on the way in Indianapolis. This the fourth and final year of his rookie deal, drafted in the second round back in the 2020 NFL draft. And DRS, if that's not going to be the case for Jonathan Taylor, could he be back at practice trying to see the field once again to show the rest of the league, hey, you need a good running back, I'm still that?
I mean, I guess. But again, is the price going to change? It's like, hey, you know what? We hated you over summer, but we were asking for a one and also your best player off of your football team. We've dropped those demands just to a one. Nobody's giving him one because it's not like you could give him a one and say, well, we don't even have to pay Jonathan Taylor for 4 more years. Like, no, you're giving up a one and then you're probably going to make him maybe the highest paid running back in football. That's tough to deal with, which means compensation should be much lower. But from what we saw over the summer, Ursay and the Colts, they're not asking for lower compensation. And who knows if that price even gets higher now at this point. I'm just stunned that he's coming off the pump and he's coming into practice happy and healthy. I just don't know where that came from, where if you told me a month before that, Jonathan Taylor's like, hey, you know what? I'm never playing again because the disrespect is so real right here. We're never going to come to an agreement to say, okay, now I'm really happy to get the pay I was really unhappy with a month ago.
Yeah. It wasn't like Jonathan Taylor was planning on holding out because he was still in the final year of his contract. But then, of course, the war of words happened where Jim Irsay said that nobody's going to remember Jonathan Taylor. He also included himself in that quote for a little bit of context, saying the NFL is going to roll on past these two guys in this current time. But again, it's not what you want to hear from the guy that's paying your paycheck. So JT is now back. I think he wants to be on the football field. Of course, it is an added benefit for Indianapolis. We knew that Cooper Kupp, DRS, was coming back for LA, placed on the IR for the first 4 weeks with that hamstring injury that has kept him on the sideline since the early portion of training camp for the Rams. So now Cooper makes his way back for an LA team that is 2-2, has looked better than many people expected them to, and he'll be on the same field with his hero, Puka Nacua. They will share the targets. They will share the offensive workload between Kupp and Nacua. Donnie, what does that do for this Rams offense? Is it a benefit, or do you think it changes things around for Stafford and LA?
Well, it is going to change things around, but you're getting one of the best players in football back off the pup list, and if he's healthy, certainly that should be a boon. And also, look, Nacua is not going to be in the same role that he is currently now because that's going to be Kupp's role, but we're telling that we can't just go to the outside. Now, the usage rate is going to drop, but you still have to be a really good wide receiver to put up the numbers that Nacua has put up, even though he is a young player necessarily in the NFL being a rookie. I'm interested to see how they use this because I don't think anybody outside of if you have him in fantasy or if you bet something year-long on Puka Nacua, you're upset about this as a Rams fan. You're looking at this going like, whoa, another weapon on this offense? Maybe we can make a playoff push now.
And I think that's the appropriate response. I expect this offense to even take a step up from where it was the opening month of the year. And don't forget Tutu Atwell, a speedster who can take the top off any defense. Maybe that opens up the downfield passing attack, having both Nacua and Kupp there as well. Cooper Kupp, when he was fully healthy in 2021, of course, on the Rams' way to winning a Super Bowl, was the best offensive player in the National Football League. He won the Triple Crown for wide receivers, most receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns. He was targeted 191 times. Nobody else in the NFL DRS broke 170. This year, Puka Nacua leads the NFL in targets, having 52 and receptions as well with 39. All that to say, again, the workload for one of these individuals, the target share is going to take a step back, but it doesn't mean the overall production of either or this Rams offense is going to change at all. DRS, two updates we brought you at the start of the show. Breece Hall has his pitch count taken off. No more snap limit for him. Only should be an added benefit for the New York Jets offense and Zach Wilson. And then a weird story with Jamal Adams, who of course missed 385 games. Injured in the opener for Seattle in 2022. A quad injury. Came back, played only a few snaps against New York, and then was concussed. On the sideline, Donnie, he got into it with the independent neurologist, and the NFL is thinking of maybe handing him down some punishment?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little tight rope there that you're going to walk on both sides. You can't have the disrespect of, you know, people on the field, particularly NFL guys, but also at the same time, he was concussed. He didn't know where he was. Come on.
That's the moral of the story, the end of it. We're back on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One Question Thursday, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. The opening month of the NFL campaign in 2023 is now in the books. On this opening night of week number 5 of this NFL season, Donnie, before we move on, we look back on the first month and ask the big picture questions that we need after 4 weeks with week number 5 beginning tonight. There are two remaining unbeaten teams, DRS, in the National Football League, both in the NFC, both faced off last year in the NFC Championship game, the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers. And the Niners have looked like the most impressive team in the National Football League this year. They have scored 30 or more points in every game. They have won by at least a touchdown in all four, 18 or more in 3 of the 4. And Donnie, when you look at this offense, of course, Brock Purdy is at the commands, but Christian McCaffrey, if he's not going to win Offensive Player of the Year, he should be in the running for MVP. Deebo Samuel, as dynamic of a weapon as you will find offensively around the sport. Brandon Ayuk has emerged as Purdy's favorite target, and George Kittle is still there, one of the best overall tight ends in the National Football League. So the question to you, DRS, can the San Francisco 49ers rely on skill positions for a deep postseason run?
Absolutely. Why not? You're built at every level. And let's just even take away these skill positions and just keep it on offense here. You got an elite offensive line across the board here. You have Brock Purdy that seems to fit exactly to what Kyle Shanahan wants, a quarterback making smart, quick decisions on the football field. You have talented wide receiver. Brandon Ayuk, your traditional wideout, right? Can dominate, can go deep, can do a lot of things. Deebo Samuel as that Swiss Army knife who can run the football, catch, and also take that screen pass all the way to the house. It's fantastic the way that plays out. And George Kittle, the ultimate safety blanket over the middle. He just showed that statistic there. Only 37 yards per game. We know George Kittle can easily get that up to 50, 60, and 70 yards a game, making that added weapon. But again, the engine of this offense is Christian McCaffrey. Every time the football is in his hands, he makes something happen, which makes every single person on that football team better. The sky is the limit, and absolutely, they can rely on these guys. Now, can we go back and say, well, Ben, what happens if they all get injured? Yeah, what happens if anybody gets injured in football? But right now, as good a skill grouping as you can get in the NFL, the San Francisco 49ers have that.
And let's not discredit Brock Purdy. Yes, he is not asked to do all that much. He's not going to beat you over the top with multiple 50-plus yard throws throughout the football game. But he is smart and he is efficient. And he has taken what Kyle Shanahan has asked him to do with all the pieces around him and played perfect football. He has the best passer rating in the National Football League. He is one of 3 quarterbacks yet to throw an interception starting the first 4 games for his team this year. 5 touchdown passes, 0 INTs for Purdy. It is tied for the best TD to interception ratio in the National Football League as well. And he has the 8th most passing yards, top 10 this year, DRS, so far in passing yardage. He is playing really good football, not just adequate football, really good football. And then the Niners on the other side, by the way, a top 5 scoring total and rushing defense in the National Football League. The roster accumulated for the 49ers, as good as you will find in the NFL. The favorites to win the NFC at plus 240. DRS, elsewhere we go to the AFC. It's been a disastrous start for the Cincinnati Bengals, the 2-time defending AFC North champions that each of the past 2 NFL seasons reached the AFC title game, of course, won it 2 years ago in 2021, playing for a Lombardi trophy. Through 4 games, they are 1-3, a negative point differential of minus 45 in DRS. Joe Burrow doesn't look like himself. T. Higgins is questionable entering this week. Jamar Chase is not happy with his overall production. And the Bengals, DRS, have only scored 5 offensive touchdowns. That is the least amount in the National Football League. They're the worst scoring offense, or second worst scoring offense, through 4 weeks. Can the Bengals, DRS, here on One Question Thursday, overcome a bad health, and might it already be too late?
It's too late already. They're just a broken football team right now. And I know Joe Burrow trying to give it his all, big contract. You got to be out there for your team. I get that. He just can't move. And it's not like you're sitting behind the Eagles or the San Francisco offensive line saying, hey, we're going to give you all the time you need back there. Just make sure you get it out within 5 seconds. That's not the case. He's under siege. And quite frankly, throughout his career, Ben, he has been under siege in the pocket. There have been multiple playoff games where they won. It's like, how do you win getting sacked six, seven, and eight times in a game? That's just what he's used to here. But he used to be able to manipulate the pocket. He can't do that right now. And also, one of those underlying things that's going to start to creep up. And look, I know T. Higgins is banged up, but hear me out on this. Yeah. Everybody's always worried about their money. Joe Burrow got his. We always thought he was going to. Ja'Marr Chase is eligible for an extension. Hasn't gotten his money here. T. Higgins is actually in the final year of his contract. He hasn't gotten his extension either. So if this turns into a 1-4, 1-5, 1-6 start, you are going to hear chirping right away. Because as much as we like to say Ja'Marr Chase is a fantastic wide receiver, paid or not paid, wide receivers want the football when they think they're open. Now, also, if you think you're going to get paid on statistics and your quarterback can't move, therefore can't get you the football, we know Mike Brown is probably licking his chops for the Bengals, going like, hey, you know what? I'm just looking at statistics, and you're not in the top 10 statistically here in touchdowns you're receiving, and I'm not going to pay you that way, which is a ridiculous way to look at it. But that's certainly in the back of these young wide receivers' mind going, when am I going to get mine? It's not my fault my statistics are down because my quarterback can't move. That's what I'm most worried about, where this season slips right off the rails when you expected a championship possible season out of the Bengals.
You would hope it would never come down to that DRS, but you never know what the evaluation would be for the Bengals if this year is an utter failure, because Cincinnati entered the year with the third best price to win the AFC at plus 550. Right now, the ninth best number at 17-1. If you want a little sliver of optimism for Cincy, right? We shared it when they were entering that week 3 Monday night game against the Rams. They must win. They started last year 0-2, this year 0-2. They're 1-3 right now. But with a victory this weekend, they would be 2-3 through week 5, which is where they were a year ago, Donnie, and they won 10 of their final 11 games. Again, that's a large hill to climb, and that's a very tall order for a team to undertake 2 consecutive years in the National Football League. But if you're looking for a sliver of hope, there it is for Cincinnati. DRS, a huge Sunday night football game with the first team we highlighted, the San Francisco 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys, coming your way week number 5. The Cowboys, a 3-1 team that have been dominant in 3 of their 4 games, and then one of the bigger upsets of the year, losing to the Cardinals by 12 as a 12.5-point favorite. So the question on One Question Thursday, DRS, the Cowboys can beat the bottom, but can they contend with the top?
Yes, they can. The talent is there. Anytime you have 2 of the most elite pass rushers in football right now in Lawrence and Parsons collapsing on the outside, that gives you a chance with anything. Pollard is sensational. So is CeeDee Lamb. You just need Dak to play good football, and they can contend. As we talked about in the NFC and the AFC, just to keep it simple, there's elite groups and there's not so elite groups. For me, Dallas is still in that elite group. Why? Because they have so much talent here. They can compete with the top end if they play good football in those big games, and a measuring stick, no doubt about it, is going to come Sunday night of what we really think about the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah.
Listen, the Cowboys are going to be there. They're going to be a playoff team. They'll be in the mix for the NFC East division title. But until I see Dallas, who has not reached the NFC title game since their last Super Bowl in 1995, do exactly that, I'm never betting the Cowboys to win an NFC championship. DRS, on Monday night, we watched one of the worst offensive efforts I think you will see all year. The Giants gave up 11 sacks. Daniel Jones was sacked 10 times. They're the worst scoring offense now in the National Football League at 11.5 points per game. So the question on One Question Thursday, who gets more blame, the quarterback, Daniel Jones, or the head coach, Brian Daboll?
Well, based on previous notions here, Daboll was a very good coach last year. Daboll was a very good coach with the Buffalo Bills as an offensive coordinator. He has put his name on the line time and time again. Daniel Jones, for me, has always stunk at quarterback. So therefore, it's the quarterback, not the coach.
Listen, it's the offensive line, right? But Daniel Jones has not played good football this year. 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, that wasn't the question. Right,
exactly. No, I agree. I would go more to the quarterback, player versus coach, but the coach was probably part of the conversations with the general manager to extend Daniel Jones this offseason anyway. So it's on everybody for Big Blue. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to this Thursday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. Donnie Wrightside is here, and now so is Joe Ranieri. So, Joe, as we welcome you onto the show, great job hosting Game Time Decisions last night, filling in beautifully for Kevin Walsh. We'll see you later today on Newswire as well. The utility man makes his way to TEL. Joe, we're going to break down Thursday Night Football between the Bears and the Commanders, and Donnie and I both want to warn you respectively that for this football game tonight, at first we were like, oh man, it's going to test every football fan's fandom tonight. Now we have changed our tune. We are excited. We are hopeful for a good Thursday night football game. So if you have bad things to say, get them out now, because after that, my friend, it's all positivity for TNF.
Wow, I had no idea that we were such big Bears fans. And Walsh, you know what? I think you might be pleasantly surprised with my take on this game here tonight. I will leave it at that. If you want to go glass half full, I'm all in on this Thursday. All in.
All right, so let's push the chips in, Joe Ranieri. Give us the glass half full. What are we drinking tonight, and what do we love?
Well, from what I understand, hopefully there's going to be a million weather delays and they can just cancel it. No, I'm only kidding. What I am looking for here tonight, quite honestly, is a lot of scoring. And you know me, with primetime games, I hate betting overs in these games here, mostly because we do them on In-Game Live every Monday and Thursday night. And they are atrocious on so many different levels. And while on the surface, this, you may be going, Bears, this is just terrible. The reality is both of these defenses are trash, especially Washington. There's no excuse for Washington. You get Chase Young back. You've got a powerful front seven, and you can't stop the run. They're giving up 30 points a game so far this year. We already know the Bears, they're not going to stop anybody either. So we've got two defenses who can't stop the run on a short week with a low total. I don't see how we can do anything but look at the over, as crazy as that may sound, and I've got to pinch myself that I'm okay. Yes, the over is the play here with these two defense. I don't see any other way. Points are coming here tonight.
Yeah, it feels like that's the way it's going to be. Take a look at the last game that the Chicago Bears played. And I mean out of nowhere, Justin Fields throws for four touchdowns and 300 yards here. Are we riding that momentum tonight, or do we say, man, just when I bet on Justin Fields, he goes back to that Kansas City 99 yards and looks like he's never played quarterback before?
Yeah, listen, I think he's going to be, he is what he is. And at this particular point, any sort of positive momentum is great. Like, just stay competitive. That's all you need to do. They were very competitive in that last game against Denver. And Denver's defense, we know, ranks, you know, basically dead last in just about every statistical category. But really, the Commanders' defense should be ashamed of themselves with what they've got going on here. They can't stop the run at all. Now, they are young in the secondary, so I do think Fields will have some success throwing the ball down the field, but it's all going to be set up because they can't contain him and the running game, which is going to open things up. And I'm expecting a shootout here tonight.
I mean, really, that's the story, in my opinion, from the over perspective or the total perspective of this football game. But I agree, Joe, trending to the over. The Commanders are the fourth worst defense in terms of scoring in the NFL, giving up 30 points per game. Their last three opponents have all scored 33. Yes, it was Philadelphia last week, 34. Buffalo the week prior, 37. But even the Broncos put up 33, and the Broncos scored 31 against the Bears. But we all expected Chicago to be awful on the defensive side of the football. The worst scoring defense in the NFL a year ago. And Matt Eberflus convinced people he was a defensive mind. Nah, get that guy out of the Windy City. We are going to see points. We are going to have fun. There's your positivity for Thursday night football. But Joe Ranieri, the handicapper that you are, we need your looks, your early lines here on the early line for week number 5 and the Sunday slate. Joe, there's a lot of fascinating lines this weekend around the National Football League. Our first bye weekend in the NFL, so four teams not playing. Our first time there's not a full weekend slate. I look at one game in particular, Joe, in London for a second consecutive week, the Jacksonville Jaguars victorious last week against Atlanta, their 11th London game upcoming now for the Jags. They take on the Buffalo Bills, who have won three straight and in the past 3 weeks have looked like the most dominant side in all of football. The Bills are a 5.5-point favorite. Jacksonville has remained across the pond all week long. Joe, I don't really understand the 5.5 point spread. What do you make of that number in favor of Buffalo for Sunday's London game?
Well, it's an interesting number because anytime you get those five and a halfs, the books are pretty much telling you, we don't have a pretty good idea what's going to happen here either way. Now, listen, Jacksonville's been, stuffing their face with fish and chips now for what, 2 weeks? So they do have the leg up. They haven't had to travel. You do have Miami. You have Buffalo coming off a big divisional game against Miami. It does have a possible letdown situation here. But ultimately, I think this comes down to, yes, while the Bills are behind the eight ball in this one, having to travel and leaving, in fact, today, they were hoping to get Von Miller a little more practice time. He has been with the team. He has been cleared. But the guy hasn't wore pads in how long. It's kind of sucks also for Bills Mafia, since I believe this was a Bills home game that is now across the pond. But any which way you cut it, the total and Jacksonville getting 5 seems to be where a lot of people are leaning. I'm not buying it. I believe in this Bills team. I think there's levels to this. I don't care if Jacksonville lives there and Buffalo just came in quick for the weekend. Buffalo is going to impose their will on this Jacksonville team. There's something wrong with Doug Peterson and this crew here at Jacksonville right now. I haven't put my finger on it, but I do not trust them just because they simply stayed there to cover against this Buffalo team that's on a mission.
Yeah. Believing the key word here in that game, which also we can equate this to a 425 game this Sunday. That's between Kansas City and Minnesota. The reason I say believing is this line opened up at FanDuel, Joe, -6. We're now seeing -4 today. So people believing in the Minnesota Vikings. One thing when the Vikings are favorites, nobody ever wants to take them. They pull one out last week. You know, looking at one of those first and goal situations, they actually got a stop on that one. How do we feel this week against Kansas City and Minnesota? And also from the angle of Mahomes goes, hey, guys, I got to actually play better for us to play better here.
Well, and it's funny, Kirk Cousins has actually been a very solid moneymaker as a home dog. I believe 5-1 ATS, 4-2 straight up over his last 6. So he has been, remind everyone, this team won 13 games last year, which is kind of also hard to believe. And Kansas City coming off a kind of lackluster performance there on primetime Sunday night against the Jets. It seems like there might be a distraction or two with Kansas City right now. I don't know what it could be. It just feels like they might not quite have their eye on the ball. I feel like this is a much more desperate Minnesota team here, and I understand why the money is coming in for them, because let's face it, you can't drop the 1-4. You need this win. And it's a winnable game against a out of conference opponent here.
Taylor Swift, a distraction? No, the Chiefs are a perfect 2-0 when Swift has been in attendance. Come on now, JR. 1-1 against the spread, however. Donnie, when we were breaking down this game yesterday, by the way, a 5.5-point spread in favor of Kansas City, it dropped so tremendously in such a short amount of time. I went right to Twitter. Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, and was like, who's missing this game for the Chiefs? Is Chris Jones back out? Is something wrong with Patrick Mahomes? Nothing. It's just one of the weirder drops we had seen, only a four-point number. It was a dismal effort out of Kansas City last Sunday night football. This Sunday night football, though, what a game we have in store. A renewal, Joe Ranieri, of an old NFC rivalry between the Cowboys and the Niners. In Santa Clara, we go for Sunday night. San Francisco, north of a field goal favorite against Dallas. Two of the more impressive teams so far this year. Two of the front runners, Joe, in the NFC. What do you like for Sunday night football?
Well, it's kind of hard not to be totally impressed. I heard you guys talking, and I have said it now a number of times that maybe the most impressive part about this 49ers team is what Brock Purdy is doing. There is no sweat off of this kid at all. I mean, he's been rushed, he's been blitzed, he's had pressure, and he still manages to stay very calm and composed in the pocket, gets out of the pocket, makes the right read, and delivers it with accuracy on time. It's crazy to think this guy was the last draft pick a couple of years ago, and now with Kyle Shanahan, I think the sky's the limit. Ultimately, I think this is a coaching mismatch, though. I'm cutting this game in half, guys.
Yeah.
I am taking the 49ers in the first half because I think Shanahan will outscript McCarthy. I think McCaffrey will have a big early part. They will have the lead at the price, which I think is -1.5. It's a very reasonable price to think that at home in prime time, the 49ers will have the lead going into the break.
So, Joe Ranieri, one more game to get to, but we'll probably have to focus on it a little bit later on. Jonathan Taylor back for Indianapolis. They take on the Titans, all four teams in the AFC South, 2-2. But we'll move on here because it's a dead pick'em almost at this moment. The line working, though, a little bit more in favor of Tennessee. That was interesting. It was a pick'em yesterday. Joe, we have your focus not only for the NFL, but for Major League Baseball as well. Help us set the stage for the divisional series all around October. We do that next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A few days off now from the Major League Baseball postseason because all four wild card series ended at only two games in 2 days. An off day today, an off day on Friday before the four division series around MLB start on Saturday. So Joe Ranieri is here for a second consecutive segment live right here on this Thursday on TEL to set the stage for the remainder of October. But Joe, before we look forward, let's look back one final time. A review of the wild card round. Joe, what was the most surprising result from these first four series that we saw to start October baseball?
Well, I think that maybe the most obvious is that it's four sweeps, guys. We were supposed to have more baseball, more urgency, game threes. Today was supposed to be a monster day for Major League Baseball and for the advertisers and for the networks. And what do we got? Yeah, we got the Bears in Washington here tonight because their expanded format has given us nothing. It's given us mediocre baseball teams where there's clearly a line drawn in the sand, which was my fear to begin with. When you start expanding playoffs and giving teams that are 500, maybe just better than 500, we're talking about mediocre baseball teams here. And that's exactly what we got here. We got teams that were that much better, certainly from a pitching perspective, than the teams they were playing. And ultimately, we got four sweeps. And now we've got a day and a half here of no baseball, which can't be great for Major League Baseball, the ratings and the advertisers, because out of sight, out of mind this time of year. So I'm shocked we didn't get at least the Brewers or, I didn't think the Marlins were going to win a game there. But you thought Toronto would have had enough to be able to extend this series, and certainly Tampa. So, but, you know, here we are with no baseball on a Thursday or on a Friday, and we got to wait till Saturday. It's a little disheartening.
As we look, though, and take a look at the slingshot approach is what I call it. The teams that get a 2-0 win in these wild card rounds heading into the next round. There's four teams that have actually done that. Do you look at a handicapping advantage based on a hot baseball team going up against a rested team or vice versa? Hey, you had to burn some pretty good pitchers here just to get the round number two. Now we're rested and ready. Talk to me about some of that momentum factor edge, if you use that or not.
Well, yeah, I am not a big fan of this big layoff for teams like Atlanta and the Dodgers and Baltimore. I mean, this is a momentum sport. It's a rhythm sport. This is something where you're playing your best baseball, and then all of a sudden, like the All-Star break, too. Not great. Look at how many teams are doing great before the All-Star break. Then the All-Star break comes to come back, and they're like, oh, God, this team is terrible. Arizona. It took them 2 months nearly to turn it back on after an amazing first half. So I worry, and we saw it last year. Didn't work out great for Atlanta. Didn't work out great for the Dodgers. These teams that had this little reprieve, and then all of a sudden now they got to come back and play competitive baseball against teams that have just been rolling. I mean, this is no more than an extra half a day's rest, like a road trip coming up for all four of these teams now, getting ready to take on the supposedly well-rested Orioles and the Astros. I'm a little concerned that early on, maybe all four teams we just saw sweep, maybe they're the play in game one across the board here, and maybe it's going to take those teams with the rest maybe a little bit longer to get back into rhythm.
Joe, I think it's a really good point, and I think it's hard to find fault in that. They play baseball 162 regular season games, and then your season could be decided in the wild card round by the outcome of two contests here, even in the divisional series around MLB. It's best of five. You have a couple of bad nights, you're already behind the eight ball. Look at the Diamondbacks as an example, 52-39 entering the All-Star break. For a good majority of the first half, it wasn't the Dodgers leading the National League West. It was the D-backs. And then they were 5-20 following the All-Star break before they turned it around over the final 2 months of the MLB regular season. The Rangers are maybe the streakiest team still left out of the eight still standing in MLB. Texas multiple times throughout the month of August had an eight-game win streak, but also an eight-game losing skid. They started off September by losing 6 of 7 before they had two individual six-game win streaks in the month of September alone, and of course coughed up an opportunity to be on the bye as the two seed by losing 3 of 4 in the final weekend against Seattle. But that is baseball. It is random, even with the heightened atmosphere that is the postseason. So Joe, with eight teams remaining, let's look at the World Series odds. All year long, there's been that tier of two, the Braves and the Dodgers in the National League and in the World Series prices. Atlanta remains the favorite, plus 260. LA, the second best number, plus 440. Houston, the defending champs, back by 50 cents at plus 490. The Orioles, 7-1. The Phillies and the Twins round out the top five at plus 800. Joe, take us through the tiers, how you see the final eight teams. Is there a tier of two at the top still with LA and Atlanta, or has Houston cracked that? Can some of the long shots like the Diamondbacks or even the Rangers at this moment make a run to continue their momentum in October?
Well, you know, and I don't want to do not discount the Twins here because they were pretty damn impressive. Now, this is a team that will either hit a home run or will strike out, but what they will bring is some dominant pitching and the kind of pitching that will throw 102, 103 miles an hour, the kinds of bullpen arms that will, when the bases are loaded or they're second and third and you need the ball to miss the bat, that's the kind of that they finally have pitching that will allow them to win in October. And they finally did, breaking the streak here. So I always love teams in October that can hit the long ball and do it well. Arizona is advancing not because they were ham and egging it and they were dinking and dunking it. They did it because they hit the long ball, and that is not what they did very well during the regular season. They're not a power-hitting club. Yeah. But boy, oh boy, were they a power-hitting club against Milwaukee in Milwaukee. We know Minnesota led the American League in home runs, but it's that pitching staff that is going to give them an edge. And maybe at that price, Ben, Do not sleep on the Twins stealing a couple of games. And when it ultimately comes down to it, if I got Durant throwing 104 miles an hour in high leverage spots, I'm backing the Twins.
Let's take big picture approach here to the World Series, and also which league do you think is going to win it? If we had a free bet on this one for you, Joe Ranieri, the National League sits at a minus 144 price. The American League sits at a plus 118 price. Based on what you've just saw and what you predict is going to happen, which league for you has the better pricing here to win the World Series, and who do you think gets it done? Which league?
Yeah, I think the National League is the clear favorite in this league. And I just, they're great stories in the American League. They're not going to go quietly into the night, but there are levels to this. And the teams at the top in the National League, and I'll even throw Philadelphia in there too. That's a carbon copy of the team that won the National League last year and went to the World Series. There is nothing different about that team. It's pretty much exactly the same team style-wise as well. They are going to be formidable. Why? Because they're built to win in October. So you take that along with obviously the two clear favorites, Atlanta and the Dodgers. Dodgers have more question marks and more concerns than Atlanta does, but there is no excuse at this point, I think, for Atlanta not to be the favorite, and thus the National League at a pretty decent price, too, if we're being honest here, to win it all.
Yeah, the Braves right now, the favorites to win the NL, plus 130, 70 cents in front of LA. There is a drop-off to Philadelphia at plus 380, and the D-backs have the longest of the four prices for the remaining teams at 6-1. Bigger disparity in the National League, but very top-heavy. The teams in the American League, the four remaining teams, Joe, all separated by $1.55, which tells me the odds makers have a couple of more questions. At least it's a little bit more up in the air who is going to emerge out of the AL and win that pennant. A couple of division series in the division round that we have here with two divisional foes facing off in each of those two DS series in the National League. The Dodgers and the D-backs, the Phillies and the Braves for a second consecutive year. And Joe, we take team success down to the individual. We showed you the Braves, the favorites in the World Series and to win the National League. The three best prices to win World Series MVP all hail from Atlanta. Ronald Acuna Jr., Austin Riley, Matt Olson, who led Major League Baseball with 54 home runs this year. Then a Houston Astro, Yordan Alvarez is alongside Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, tied for the fourth best numbers at 26-1. Joe, where do you find value in the individual market that is the World Series MVP? With a reminder to everybody, it's not a postseason MVP. It's only that World Series in the best of seven that we might see.
Well, if you are of the mind and you're holding tickets for Atlanta to win it all, you've got some choices there, don't you? You've got Acuna who can overtake a series there. You've got Olson who, you know, jacking 50, almost 60 home runs this year. He is a guy that, and the long ball wins in October. And you've got some guys that can hit it on that Atlanta team. But what happens if Atlanta doesn't go to the World Series? What do you do with those tickets then? So you have to pick your team, figure out which way it's going. If it's Atlanta, it's Acuna for me. If it is, in fact, the Dodgers that end up going, then I absolutely think it's going to be Mookie Betts up at the top of that order that drives that. Freeman's a good choice as well, but I believe Betts is the guy that will make that engine roll for the Dodgers if they get there. And I think Philadelphia is the other one, and you got to look. Do we really trust Harper to do enough here? It's much more of a team situation with Philadelphia than individual superstars that can elevate, because it can be anybody, I think, on that Philadelphia team, not just Harper. He's the biggest name, but there's a lot of guys that could end up taking over a World Series on that team.
Yeah, and these numbers certainly going to change drastically as these series progress. Because just few days ago, Ben and I were talking about it here, Joe, 50-1 on Bryce Harper to be an MVP of the World Series. Oof. He's now down to 31-1. And also, we have to remind ourselves, too, because I thought you bring up a good point as well. When you look at the NBA, it's like, okay, the Lakers win. Well, that LeBron gets that award. Okay, Denver wins. Yeah, Jokic gets that award. Giannis wins if it's Milwaukee. That's not the case here. You have three or four different guys from each team. I just want to ask you one quick question on this. Would you take a flyer on a pitcher? In the past, a pitcher could have started three games in a World Series. That seems like it's no longer the case anymore, Joe.
No, it's not. And I mean, there are some very big game pitchers that remain here, but there is no Scherzer. There is no DeGrom, unfortunately, for Texas here. So I do think bullpens, and we haven't seen it since what? Rivera? Since Mariano, that might have a shot. But there are some dudes in the bullpen here on some of these teams that are going to be extremely valuable come World Series time.
Joe, one word answer out of you before we let you go to get to that Newswire production meeting as you host that show starting at 11 a.m. Eastern time. The Orioles are the best team in the American League, the only team that won 100 or more games this year. And they're in an even outright price right now with the Rangers in the ALDS. Minus 110 for Baltimore, minus 110 for Texas. One word answer. Are the Orioles being disrespected?
Yes. And I would give a word, consistency. One team has been consistent for 162 games, and you never know what you're getting with the other.
Germinary, we'll see you on Newswire at 11 a.m. Eastern. We round out the second hour next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We round out hour number two live right here on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid and all across the Spiz Grizz Network. And with the Spiz Grizz Network, of course, that includes the new Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app, now available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. Scan the QR code on your screen, and in a matter of moments, all of our information and insight in the palm of your hand. Five-star plays, DRS, available in the new Spiz Grizz app. Those are best bets. We wanted to hear from the people out there, Donnie Wrightside, what the best bet is for Thursday night football. So, Donnie, we do that right now in Fade the Public. I gotta stop making myself laugh. Donnie, I'll go. All right, anyway, best bet for Thursday night.
Did they hear me?
You got it?
Stinger? Did anybody hear me? Yeah, I gave all the information on that stinger. I didn't know it was coming, so yeah, go ahead.
I gotta stop making myself laugh. We have some fun here on this Thursday. Donnie, we're happy. We're excited. We're ready for Thursday night football. You won't hear any negative words any longer out of either Donnie Wrightside or myself or TNF. What about the public? What's the best bet for Thursday night football between the Bears and the Commanders? At SportsGrid TV on Twitter. The Bears as the dog getting 6. The Commanders laying 6 in Washington tonight. Over 44.5. Under 44.5. Donnie, I am thrilled to see the least amount put on the over 44.5. It is the right play. It's one of my favorite bets for tonight.
We're excited for this game, and I clicked on the over 44.5, but apparently the public's not all that exciting. Goes under 44.5, because I guess this is one of those, you know, monsters of the midway defenses, and back in the early 1980s, the you know, Commanders defense here. I don't think that's going to happen here. I disagree with the public tonight on this. I want points. Ben wants points. Why doesn't everybody else want points?
We're fading the public, DRS. If the public likes an under more than an over, it's a good sign. We need to bet the over right here, right now. Don't want it to tick up to 45.5. I'm going to go bet it in these 55 seconds that we have, DRS, until hour number three starts live right here on the early line.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America. Discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.